Springfield's News Talk FM 104.1 KSGF. We are on Facebook Live this morning. 104.1 Nick Reed, our Friday Road Show sponsored by Queen City Motors in studio. We've got Tom Arts and Dr. John Lilly of the Lock and Smith Foundation this hour. And Mr. Don Luzader here with the latest news.
And good morning. A witness says it sounded like tires exploding. Western Taney County firefighters had to close down part of East Highway 76 near Branson Thursday night to fight flames at the Snap Bearden Funeral Home. Now, those flames quickly shot through the attic. No, although one part of the building is said to still be intact, but definitely heavy damage at that funeral home in the Branson area. Also this morning, more people are flying to Springfield-Branson National Airport, and the Department of Transportation has given a grant to help keep up with that growth. $3.7 million grant will go toward reconstructing the taxiway out of the airport. The airport recently saw its biggest year ever for passenger flights. And also this morning, a St. Louis County Police Lieutenant who was passed over for promotion 23 times says he has no plans to leave the department after settling a discrimination lawsuit for more than $10 million. Keith Wildhaber says he's happy with his new job and commander of the department's new diversity and inclusion unit. He was named to that unit after jurors awarded him $20 million. He says he wants to finish his career on his own terms.
You know, they say that if you're working but you don't have to do it for the money, you enjoy it more.
Yeah.
So I suppose that might have come into play.
Sounds true with him.
$20 million.
Yeah.
You can discriminate against me all day for $20 million.
That's right. I'll take it.
Does that come under if you, if at first you don't succeed, try.
There you go.
Yeah, boy. Yep, I'll get turned down for a job 100 times for that sort of
thing. Sure.
Thank you, sir.
You
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sunny 35 today, 26 tonight. Tomorrow, cloudy, 49. Sunday, mostly sunny, a high of 57. And then with a slight chance of rain on Monday, a high of 61 expected. It's 8 and clear at the KSGF studios with Tom Arts and Dr. John Lilly of the Lock and Smith Foundation. Hey, guys.
Hey, it's cold outside, man.
It is cold outside.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm a little under the weather.
Oh, no. Did you get some hot tea?
Yes.
Oh, look at
that. Just to remind everybody.
Did you buy that at the Sports Authority on the south end of town?
No, I got it that night. On the internet.
Oh.
Maybe.
Well, I've already applauded all those people that went to the south end of town because the city thanks them for those extra tax dollars that are rolling in because of that extra tax down there.
No, I didn't give the city any extra tax money.
Scrooge.
Yeah.
Well.
Sad thing is in 50 years when they get another one, John won't be around.
You mean next year?
I thought maybe you bought that from Boyd.
No.
So he shifted from Trump paraphernalia to Chiefs paraphernalia.
Chiefs paraphernalia.
All right. So what's up, guys? You got, I don't.
Yeah,
you
I
give
know.
Me?
I'm a little under the weather.
Oh, so okay. All right. That's
I
fine.
I didn't do my usual.
That's all right. Do you, okay.
We have a list going, so.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
We know what we're talking
okay.
about.
Okay. That's all that matters then.
Two holidays.
What are you drinking?
This is Blue Frog. It's a health.
Oh.
Health energy. You
I
might.
Like,
yeah,
I like
I'll
the can.
You. Yeah, it's really good. I'll send you info on it.
Okay.
This was what fuels this incredible show every morning.
It's probably loaded
I would not,
with caffeine.
It has about the same as just a cup of coffee.
Coffee.
It's vitamin B stuff mostly, and then what's called Focoidin. I'll send you stuff on it.
Okay.
It's really good. It's good for you, too.
So he thinks. President's Day, Washington's birthday is Monday.
That is correct.
And the third week of February is Engineer Awareness Week. So you got to go out and
be aware that engineers exist.
Be aware that engineers exist and
are you supposed
congratulate
to,
them for...
Are we encouraged to do something that... Because oftentimes that's what these days do. They encourage you to do something... So
supposed to promote the discipline of engineering to students, expand the public recognition of the engineering profession.
I thought maybe we were...
Celebrate engineering accomplishments.
Maybe supposed to get like some Tinker Toys or something.
Yeah.
Isn't like Tinker Toys any longer?
Yes, they do. But isn't Hallmark in Kansas City?
Yeah.
Is it on the Kansas side or the
Missouri,
Missouri side?
Yeah,
so
it's over there in Westport,
we,
right?
Why don't we celebrate National Hallmark Day, which is today?
That's true. Mm.
Aren't they closing that one down, though? I thought they were closing it down.
No, I think the headquarters is down.
It's in Westport, right? Or not Westport, but the plaza.
It's around. No, it's no? It's by.
You took us by there when we went up there to meet with Ryan that one day.
Yeah.
Okay.
That sounds like a pretty rip-roaring fun weekend.
Well,
I'm
going
to take you by to see the Hallmark headquarters.
It was actually go up and meet an individual
drunk?
And come back. But, yeah, John took us to his old neighborhood where he used to hang out
and
ride bike and
smoke cigarettes and throw rocks at cars. You'd see you were probably just a real rabble-rouser.
Speaking of throwing rocks at cars, have you seen the pictures of the individual who took frozen meatballs in a Ziploc bag and threw them off an overpass?
No.
And they hit a UPS semi.
Wait, was that local?
In the windshield? No, it was back east.
I had not heard of this.
Oh, it shattered the windshield.
I bet.
And tomato sauce and
is the driver okay?
Yeah, the driver's fine.
So I can laugh about it. I didn't want to crack some jokes, and then you'd be like, oh, and he left behind three kids and a wife.
Well, there are people who
think it's
funny to throw stuff off overpasses and see if they can't hit a vehicle.
Oh, people
I watched
that
it happen with somebody throwing a garbage can off, and it hit the truck that was in front of me. And when it came up and over top of his trailer, I was next in line. But luckily, I saw it coming off the bridge and moved over to the left-hand lane, so I don't know where it went after.
People they've died from that. Cinder blocks, watermelons, all sorts of stuff. The worst we ever did in high school is we had a friend who had some land, and we would, at night, there was an overpass, and we had a potato cannon, and we would try to shoot not at the trailer part of semis, just to hear hear it, boom. I don't think we ever hit one. That's what we would do.
You would have put a hole right through the trailer.
Well, now, we did it from a very far distance.
Oh.
It was not, that's why we never actually were able to hit it. I mean, in all honesty, for us, because we were nerds, it wasn't to do any sort of damage. We wanted to be far away because we were like mathematically trying to figure out at what trajectory you had to do it and how, far ahead in order to hit it. That was our geekness. That's what propelled us to do it.
See, I got paintballed one day driving down the highway.
You're kidding.
No, somebody was passing me on the passing lane, and I kept hearing this pow, pow, pow. It was the paintballs bouncing off the trailer, and they were making such a racket that I could actually hear it in the cab of the truck.
Well, I guess so.
So then I knew, I looked in the mirror and saw this little barrel out, and you could see the splatter of the paint as the guy kept going down the side of the trailer. So I just kind of wiggled to the left like I was going to run him off the road, and he got out of my way.
My brother and I once, we were driving from, I don't know if it was Springfield. We were on 44 heading east. I think we were going to Montauk State Park or something. And I was ahead of him. We were driving separate for some reason. And this was around the time, I guess Otis Spunkmeyer muffins are still around, those big muffins, you know. And I love the lemon poppy seed ones. They were great. So I had eaten one, and then I had another one. And, I'm driving, and I don't want to eat the other one. And so I think, while we're traveling on the highway, I wonder if I can hit my brother's car behind me. So I unwrap it. And I take it, and I'm driving, and I just chuck it kind of like straight up in the air. And I'm watching in the rearview mirror, and nothing. And it's like forever. And I think, well, I guess I don't know what happened to it. And then all of a sudden, I see it. It looks like it's suspended in the sky. And then like a rocket, just boom, straight down on his windshield and explode. Not the windshield, the muffin exploded. It was like something out of a movie, because it did. It looked like it was suspended in air, and it just, and he almost ran off the road. He was laughing so hard because he said he saw it, and it just goes up and sits there, and then like a laser just boom straight down on the windshield and exploded. It was the funniest thing I'd ever seen.
Okay, my story.
All right.
Pennsylvania Turnpike years ago, trucker throws a can of something out the window. Comes up right over the back of his, so I slow down. It bounces in front of me. I drive under it, and I look in my rearview mirror, and it bounced behind me. I just missed
You're
that
You're kidding.
Thing. No. The other funniest thing I saw was in New Jersey, some idiot had great big styrofoam panels roped to the top of his car with one rope right in the center. And he's going 50, 60 miles an hour down, and you could see those things. They were like inch thick, but he had about 12 or more of them stacked up. And the top ones, they're starting to come up a little bit because you're driving into the wind. You're driving 50 miles an hour. Finally, the top one gets enough, it breaks in half. And then all of them start coming off, and the guy right behind it, the thing came off, went right in front of the car behind him, and this guy plowed it, and it just, the styrofoam just sprayed everywhere. It was the funniest thing. Didn't do anything to his car, but it was hilarious. It's styrofoam. And the guy, almost all of them fell off, and he's still driving down the road. Didn't even realize his
back in the
styrofoam fell off.
Back in the probably late 90s or maybe early 2000s, Joplin police at night, they were really bad about it. They would follow you. Like, you going through, they would follow. You go left, they go left, and it would make me real nervous. And even though I didn't, do anything wrong. And so once I was on this road, and it was in town, and there's this police car, and he's following me. And I'm driving, and in the road, I see a can of, I don't know what it was, soda or something. And this is at night. And I have this moment where I think, well, I don't want to hit that, but I don't want to swerve too drastically because then he'll pull me over. So I try to just a little bit, and I clip it in just a way that it explodes, and it shoots back and hits his car. And so the lights come on, and I'm just thinking to myself, you have got to be kidding me. So he comes up, and first thing, he goes, you want to tell me why you just threw a can of beer at my car? And I was like, first of all, I just want to let you know, I know that you will not believe me, and I understand that. But I swear to you, I explained to him what just happened. And he smiled, and he goes, well, he said, I didn't actually see you throw it. He said, it was weird. It just came out of nowhere. And I was like, I'm really sorry. He goes, oh, it's fine. I'll just go wash it off. But I thought for a moment, I'm dead. And no judge is ever going to believe my story. More of the Lock and Smith Foundation here this morning. I am Nick Reed, Shelby with traffic. Lock and Smith Foundation with us. Are we doing Republican, Democrat, or no?
No.
Okay, sounds good.
Let me do just a quick
Our stories thing. Were more fun.
I know. Quick thing on PDMP.
Yes.
It passed.
Yes.
Not as fast as it did last year, though.
There were no amendments that got... All the amendments were defeated, and one of them...
of course, these were bill-killing amendments. That's why they got defeated.
Representative Hill had one that said, if the overdose deaths increase, then the thing sunsets.
Oh.
So they couldn't... And one, he just said overdose deaths, which could mean illegal...
Sure.
You know, whatever.
Right.
So he didn't specify, but it was a good try.
Well, and why should he specify? I mean, if the whole point
is to bring down the deaths. So they said, no, even if it doesn't bring down the deaths, we still want it.
Of course.
Now, the...
we want it even more. If it fails.
Finally, the 2008 numbers on the deaths got on the CDC Wonder website. In the past, they did it in December. And this year, I even sent them an email. I said, we're still working on it. Finally, this past week. 2018. The counties in Missouri that have a PDMP, the death rate for prescription drugs was about the same. 2016, it was 74. 2017 went up to 79. 2018 went down to 71. The illicit fentanyl went from 249 in 2016, 344, 489. Went up 96% in 2 years and 42% from last year. So...
If you can't
get the prescription, they're going to go to cheap alternatives.
And that's the point. And I tell you, if you look at those numbers, people who support prescription drug monitoring program, they will say, well, see, it works. But if your goal is to stop the deaths, then no, it's not.
Right.
One of the points as to why this is irrelevant. They will find other ways. If the legislation does prevent people from fulfilling their addictions through doctor shopping or whatever, they will find other ways. I mean, that's just, and it's the same thing with all of the efforts to make it more expensive to make your own meth. they'll find it other ways. And they did, and that's one of the reasons that meth from Mexico became so prevalent, because they just found that it was easier for them to buy it instead of make it themselves. I mean, so you didn't. Yeah. You just shifted the problem.
Yeah. One of the keys, and I think the ultimate goal, is for the Washington bureaucrats to have a prescription drug database. Not just opioids. I think they want, because the government said, we're paying for a nonprofit that's pushing this thing. And it was set up back in the 1993, the NAMSDL, National Model State Drug Laws form. And it's a nonprofit. We're paying for it. It's funded through congressional appropriation. And they are even on their charts. They don't put PDMP, they put PMP, Prescription Monitoring Program. And I think the ultimate goal is to get a database for all prescriptions. And the people that are pushing the PDMP think they're doing something good, and they're really harming everyone.
Right.
10 years ago, if you'd have said, you know, the NSA is going to be looking at all of our emails and texts. We'll say, oh, you're crazy. Yeah.
Oh, we have safeguards put in place.
Yeah.
There are mechanisms to make sure that doesn't happen.
Yeah. They're data mining.
Right.
Now, to add to that, there is a state rep, and I don't know who it is, who has introduced a bill that will put your medical records on your driver's license. And then there's another state rep, and both of these are Republicans, who want to make your license digital. That way you can carry it around on your phone.
I've seen that.
That way you can hand your phone to the police officer.
I would not do that.
Well, don't forget, we passed that law several years ago that prohibits them from going back any further. Like, if you have your insurance card on your phone, you can hand them your phone. They can look at your insurance card. And then we have this law that prohibits them from accidentally hitting the screen and scrolling back through your phone.
Well, here's what I would do. I would, if it does get to where we do have that and you can just show your license, I would have a Blue Lives Matter screensaver. I would recommend that everyone have one of those. It can't hurt. More with the Lock and Smith Foundation in moments. I'm Nick Reed. Tom Arts, Dr. John Lilly of the Lock and Smith Foundation.
Hey, before we get to legislation, I found a topic that was quite interesting, and I just called it sports in the courts.
Oh, has a nice little ring to it.
The NCAA is testifying in front of Congress to prohibit a college athlete to earn money based on their own likeness, and they're trying to proclaim that if the state laws go into effect, that it will shift the dynamic of college athletics so far out of whack that you'll have these schools, let's say out in California, who have the availability to pay these student athletes lots of money to advertise their product. But when you sit back and think about it, these student athletes, when they come out of high school, they're really nobody. It's not until they start performing on the field that they become an advertising gimmick. So the thought process that the NCAA, and I think it's the Big 12, and there's a couple other conferences that are speaking in front of Congress trying to make it so that Congress will pass a law which regulates how the states can implement these laws to make it so that a college, an individual who is attending college, who is participating in athletics, can use his likeness or his name, not the college, not the helmet, not the jersey, not anything else, just their likeness and their name to benefit themselves. So, I mean, the NCAA is making billions of dollars on these kids. So to think that you have this agency that is a non-entity, it's a not-for-profit, it's making billions of dollars on, you name the quarterback, you name the basketball player, and then they're going to scream bloody murder in front of Congress, going, well, you can't have Zion Williamson, to use an individual as a basketball player now in the NBA, but you can't allow him to sell his likeness.
You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of in the music industry. And when shows like American Idol came about, and it only took a couple of seasons for
the artist to recognize that winning wasn't in their best interest. Mm-hmm. Because, and Kelly Clarkson was a great example of this, you get locked in and you're pretty much owned. Whereas second and third place would oftentimes realize, well, no, they didn't, they weren't owned by anyone. And it's because they, any revenue that is created, they want it. And so it reminds me a little bit of that. Like they're worth too much money to let them make it on their own.
Yeah, I mean, they gave, I mean, back in the old days when you had to pay record pay radio stations mm-hmm. to play records, and about the only money that an artist made was when they went on tour.
Right.
When they're selling their merchandise and stuff like that, they didn't make a whole lot of money in the recordings.
Right, and still, to a degree, it's that way, unless they write the songs themselves.
Correct.
That's where, you know, and the Taylor Swifts and those have tremendous advantage. But yeah, it's the singers or the songwriters and the producers that make a lot of it. But yeah, it, I mean, it is. It's money. I mean, and so many of these debates are framed around something other than that, because they oftentimes don't want to admit it's just about the money. You know, it's about the kids' education, or, you know, don't want them taken advantage of. It's money.
Well, there's always that argument, you know, well, you're getting your college for free. Well, you're prohibiting me. Actually, the college is not prohibiting me. This other entity is prohibiting me, because the college I'm attending is signatory to the NCAA, is prohibiting me from selling my likeness. It's to the point where a college athlete, you can't even buy them a Twinkie for Pete's sakes.
Well, and theoretically, you're going to college to better prepare yourself to make a living. And so the irony that it is going to the college that's preventing you from doing that when you have the opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
More of the Locke and Smith Foundation this morning. They are in studio. Our Friday Roadshow, sponsored by Queen City Motors, in studio this morning. Traffic with Shelby. I'm Nick Reed. Don Luzader with the latest news update.
And good Friday morning. The Missouri Ethics Commission has fined former Governor Eric Greitens' campaign almost $180,000 for breaking the law by not reporting it cooperated with the Political Action Committee. The Ethics Commission says PAC paid for advertising during Greitens' run for governor. The commission says it does not have any evidence that Greitens specifically knew about it, but that he's still responsible. As far as that Ethics Commission report overall, Greitens says the findings exonerate him. The Department of Transportation is awarding a grant to resurface and reconstruct the taxiway out at the Springfield-Branson National Airport. That airport recently saw its biggest year for passenger flights in 2019. That grant totals $3.7 million. And that is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. Sunny, 35 today, 26 for a low tonight. Tomorrow, cloudy, 49, 57 on Sunday, into the 60s on Monday with a slight chance of showers. It's 8 degrees and sunny here at the KSGF Studios. Tom Martz, Dr. John Lilly. How are you guys?
Good.
Good, good, good. Good.
Yeah.
Hey, Sarah, do we need to talk about this now? No? Are we waiting for him? Is he going to call?
Yeah, he'll call. Okay. But we can do a giveaway if you want. That's up to you.
Let's wait a sec.
Okay.
Let's wait. So should we talk about what, or we'll just wait for him to call and then, okay. All right. Very good.
Okay, well, it dawned on me a second ago that commercial actually said the name that's on that card.
I didn't even hear.
I kept hearing it, David Lee Roth, but they kept playing Kiss music in the background. I thought, well, what the heck is that?
Is David Lee Roth performing before or something?
I guess. With Kiss.
Oh.
But you don't hear that on the commercial. You hear David Lee Roth because there's this loud intro. Then you hear the name David Lee Roth and they're playing Kiss music. Well, sitting here now, I finally heard and Kiss.
I did not realize that. I don't know much about this concert, evidently. All right, what's next?
Houston Astros. You heard about them?
I've heard of them, yes.
Okay. You hear about the cheating scandal?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There is a pitcher for the Toronto Blue Jays.
Yeah.
He is filing a lawsuit.
I saw this.
Against the Houston Astros, because on the day that he was demoted from the major leagues, his pitching line was this. He pitched to one third of an inning. He gave up 4 hits, 4 runs, 4 earned runs, 3 bases on balls, and 1 homer. In that one third of an inning, his earned run average was 6.31. So the Toronto Blue Jays downloaded him down into the minor leagues. and he is never to return. What is alleged and what can be, I think, now shown to have happened is that they had cameras in the outfield that were pointed to the pitcher and the catcher. They would see what the catcher's signs were. Then they would beat on a trash can in the dugout loud enough for the batter to hear so they knew what pitch was coming. So not only is this pitcher suing, there are lawyers who are lawyering up for a class action lawsuit for the Dodgers, the Yankees, any team that was beat by the Houston Astros, and the fans who went and purchased all this 2017 World Champ gear, because in reality, the Houston Astros World Championship now is seriously tainted because they cheated to get it. And they used electronic means to cheat. It's not the old style way where you just, you know, if you got a guy on second, it used to be that the second baseman would watch the signs and then he could figure out a way to tell the batter what was coming. But now they're using computers. They're using supposedly they're using wires. There's a video of the of an Astro hitting a home run, and when they grabbed a hold of his shirt, the first thing he does is he grabs a hold of his shirt to prevent them from tearing it off his body. And it's alleged that he had a wire on, and they could actually communicate with the batters through either a pulse or through a microphone to let them know what pitch was coming and where it was going.
Sometimes you wonder if that much effort was put into just improving one's game. You might not need to go to those lengths to win.
Well, that puts the you know, Deflategate and all these other ones to, those are minuscule now compared to what's going on in baseball.
Let a little air out, that's nothing.
But we also have here in a state level, we have a state rep who is created a resolution, and I forget the number, that he would prefer that the National League not go to the designated hitter rule. It shows the weakness of the pitcher.
Well,
if the pitcher is protected from going to the plate. So
if ever there was a definition of role of government, this would be it.
Oh, it's fun times.
I mean, I know that was, had the Major League MLB been around during the founding, I'm sure that that would have specifically been cited in the Constitution.
Well, not only is it at the federal level, I mean, it's at the state level, so give me a break. But speaking of state level,
yes,
SAPA, Second Amendment Preservation
Act.
Right,
yes. I mean, there are a lot of people that are talking about this.
There are a lot
of
states.
When I'm out, people are like, how come you're not talking? I'm like, well, it comes up every once in a while, but.
There are a lot of states who are implementing what is called a Second Amendment Preservation Act. We took a lot of heat many years ago because we were opposed to the Second Amendment Preservation Act because of the way it was written was in violation of the Constitution. This time they've done a really good job of writing it. I just found it quite odd that Lincoln University Police Chief Gary Hill was up testifying, not in favor of, but being opposed to passing anything that would allow gun-free zones. The reason he is opposed to it is because he recently dropped his handgun at a restaurant. And as someone with all his firearms training drops his firearm in public, you're just not that smart. You as well would make that mistake.
So because of his incompetence?
Because of his incompetence.
Everyone should lose their...
Now, luckily, he's a police chief. He's not a sheriff. But from my understanding in the Missouri Legislative Review Group, he did run for sheriff at one point in time.
I don't even know what words to use. Get up there, and no shame.
No.
Because I'm incompetent as a police chief. That's quite an argument to make.
As a person who grew up around firearms, as a person who has carried firearms quite a bit, used to go hunting, I have never seen a firearm dropped. This is based on my own. Yeah. Now, I know that people have tripped, they've fallen, stuff like that, but I have never seen a firearm dropped unless it was because of the ignorance of the individual holding it. I've never seen a firearm go off except for when somebody pulled the trigger.
I once saw somebody choke in a restaurant, so I suppose no one should be allowed to eat in them any longer.
Well, who needs
something that
dangerous maneuver?
Could happen?
That's right.
And it's my understanding this person was generally pretty good at eating, even an expert at it.
Trained,
so if they could, if a trained individual can choke while eating at a restaurant, perhaps then no one should be able to eat at a restaurant.
But I predict Second Amendment Preservation Act is going to pass.
Mm-hmm. Now, is it in its current form something that is in line with the Constitution?
Correct.
Okay.
But it the concept that we need a law.
Yeah, I know.
To do what it is that the supreme law of the state says just boggles my mind. Oh. Just take that application of what it says in Article 1, Section 23. Of course, we have to get that changed again to remove the application of the red flag laws being allowed to be written by the General Assembly. But everything within that Bill of Rights should already be codified within state statute. Especially right. Article 1, Section 2, where it says that they can only protect my life, my liberty, my pursuit of happiness, and the liberty of my own gains. Anything other than that is a total failure in government.
Well, I guess the legislation could always say, no, we really, really mean it. I mean, I know why. It's, you know, you do what you can. You know, you see that, yes, those fundamental rights are under attack, and so you think, well, even though we shouldn't have to, if it helps,
as we have watched for the last 10 years, anything that you write the previous year and becomes law, it can change the following year. So once you get to that, the application where instead of following the Constitution, you're going to follow state law, which a lot of courts do too nowadays, then your rights mean nothing.
Yeah.
You're at the whim of those people that you elect, and if you don't elect the proper people, I mean, we've got, we've got three people up in Jefferson City who follow the Constitution. And no, I'm not talking about Lincoln Huff. His was accidental.
Broken clock. that whole thing.
Now, you did talk about that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, this is clean Missouri, and in this
cleaner
Missouri. Oh, yeah. And the effort to essentially undo at least the gerrymandering aspect of clean Missouri, which will gerrymander districts so that it's more fair for Democrats, and all of the GOP senators I supported the legislation that is intended to remedy that. Lincoln Huff was not one of them, but he also. He was a supporter of the national popular vote, right?
Yes,
right.
Yeah, so I don't know what that... I don't know.
Well,
I don't know what goes on in his head. I don't know. Because if you look at it objectively, a person could think, is he like a plant? Is like he a Soros plant or something? But I don't think that he is when he, you know, supports things like a national popular vote. And I think he just doesn't know, maybe. I don't know.
I think in all sincerity that there are more dyed-in-the-wool Republicans mm-hmm. who are in alignment with a person like Lincoln Huff than there are people who are diametrically opposed to a person like Lincoln Huff on his ideology.
And, you know, and I've recognized...
And it's not attacking him personally. It's the ideology that
because
comes
I'll say
with
every
it.
Time I have come in contact with him, despite my very public criticisms of some of the stances he takes, he's always been very, very nice. He's always been very nice. And he, in fact, had to introduce me at an event, and I felt kind of bad that he had to do that. But he was came across very genuine and said very nice things. So, you know, which at times, for a lot of people, that could be very difficult to be critical of someone that is, you know, that's nice. But here's what I have learned oftentimes happens, and I think maybe this is a category that Lincoln Huff is in. There are people, and there are some right now, because there are primaries going on. And so I'll have conversations with people who are running Republican in some of these districts, state rep, state, you know. And the party will often, if there isn't any obvious person that's going to run, they will find a person that is relatively successful as a business person, younger, outgoing, a little bit charismatic, is social enough to where people know them, and they tap them to run. And those people, because oftentimes they're driven to success, or, and some people that they always need to be doing something, they're compelled at the idea. They're like, oh yeah, you know, I've been successful at this and this, and I've had this business. And so that's the natural next step. And plus it's flattering to have the movers and shakers come to you. And so they run, and they're Republican because they're raised that way, or, you know, they go to church, or they're pro-life or whatever, but they don't really have any understanding of liberty and the Constitution. And that's not an insult. Most people don't. They just, you know, there's a few, there's that one percenter of geeks that have that understanding and the passion and the concept for it. And so something comes along and it's sold to them as, this is a really great idea because democracy. And they're like, oh yeah, that makes sense. And I think that's how you end up with some of these Republicans that don't seem to have any real concept of what's constitutional, what's liberty focused, and what the Electoral College is and why it exists. And that's how we end up in that situation.
Well, if you're going to base your constitutional ideology off of what you're taught in public schools, you probably ought to divert somewhere else and not go into politics.
And I get it. These, you know, they're generally relatively intelligent people, or at least they fancy themselves as such. And like I said, they've been successful. So they think, well, I can do that. And then anything that they think is, well, just a good idea that makes sense to them, then that's something they support. But it's not in that idea of upholding things that are constitutional and the role of government. That is not at all in their realm of thinking. That's just, it's not.
They get the idea that I'm there to represent the people, and if the people in my district want this, then I want this.
Yeah. And even a number of some Republicans that fancy themselves as being more conservative, like I said, are nice people. They will say things about, well, my job is to do this, this, this. And I'm like, no, that's not at all your job. That, not that that isn't a noble goal, but that's not the role of government. Just because it's a good idea. And I tell you the person who said this once on this show, that it was Steve Helms, who now is in office. And this was when I think he was running for Greene County Board. And it was, he was talking about the issue of parks and all the money that goes into parks and expanding parks and so forth. And he said, when it comes to the role of government, just because it's a good idea doesn't mean that government should do it. And that's very, yes, exactly. Now, I know some may challenge that he has adhered to that. But that's absolutely true. Unfortunately, so many lawmakers, Republicans and Democrats, they think if it's a good idea. Because when you have a discussion about whether or not something should be done, they tell you what a good idea it is. That's their argument for it. That's why it should be done. Well, no, that's not how the Constitution doesn't say your job is to pass laws that are a good idea. That's not the job.
Well, it's because of Steve Helms, not specifically, but his ideology, that when somebody tells me that, well, I'm going to go up to Jefferson City to defend your freedom and liberty, my next question is, well, what have you done from today back to whenever that will prove to me that you've even done anything at all in your own life to do such? Because if you haven't, you're not going up to Jefferson City to defend my liberty and freedom because you don't know what it is. Have you been to city council meetings? Have you been to park board meetings? Have you been to the planning and zoning functions? Have you done anything that would lead anyone to believe that you're going up there to be a stalwart in the Constitution?
As an issue, as an example, prescription drug monitoring program, we get, understandably so hung up on the fact that it doesn't work, and the privacy aspect of it, and government involvement aspect of it. But the reality is that is not the government. People, you know, well, there's a crisis. Okay, yeah, but that doesn't mean that it's the government's job to do things to create laws to make sure people don't harm themselves. That's really not the role of government. But that isn't even a discussion that happens any longer because no one wants to talk about that. Well, it's just accepted.
Lynn Morris, I says, well, what's your solution to the problem? You know, and my response is, well, it's not this.
Yeah.
And you can't legislate morality. And that's what they continually try to do. Anytime you do that, you will fail.
All right, quick break. We're going to get traffic update with Shelby. More ahead. I'm Nick Reed. All right, before we go back to the Locke and Smith Foundation here, our promotions director, Houston, is on the line. And, you know, we've been running ads for this upcoming KISS concert. It is the End of the Road World Tour. David Lee Roth is opening. And this is coming up at the Q on the 18th. So what is that, Tuesday, Sarah? Is that right?
Yep.
All right. So, Houston, we used to do this. I forgot about it until Sarah mentioned it, reverse panhandling, where we would go out somewhere and then give things away instead of soliciting, instead of asking for things. And so we have pairs of tickets for this. Houston, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. So where are you? You're at somewhere, and then so you're going to tell us where you are, and then the first two people get a pair each for the concert. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
All right. So where are
you? That's right. Pair of tickets to KISS. I am at the brand new Casey's next to Menards.
Okay.
It's 3661 West Sunshine. So the brand new Casey's right there at the corner.
All right. So all they got to do. All right, you're in the Jeep or the KSGF. Jeep
yes,
there.
Sir.
So people just come up.
Yeah, we're parked right out front.
All right, and then the first two people get a pair of tickets, right?
Sounds good.
All right, excellent. And then are you going to go elsewhere and you'll call in and tell us where you are?
Yes, sir, I will.
All right, that sounds good. Thank you, sir. All right, so that's the new Casey's there by Bernard's, and just stop by and tap on the window and tell them you heard and you want a pair of passes to see KISS in concert, David Lee Roth opening on Tuesday, and you will get those. And also, we'll take caller number 4 right now. You want to do that?
Yep, that's perfect.
Caller number 4 at 447-KSGF will also get a pair. Locke and Smith Foundation with us, gentlemen.
I think you should have had him dress up as a KISS
character,
and then he had to stand outside the Jeep
would've
and wait for
idea. A ticket. Wouldn't have been a bad idea.
But SJR 38 is the bill that we've been discussing. Mm-hmm. It will be on the ballot, because I know it's going to pass in the House. It has the same issues now as it did when it was on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
It is about more than just lobbying. It's also about redawing the districts. Mm-hmm. So what our legislative body has done is it is basically in agreement that all of this deals with legislative districts. Mm-hmm. Therefore, anything can be grouped in that category. Mm-hmm. And if that's the case, then any bill that they write can be enveloped into the application of it deals with legislative districts, therefore everything is constitutional.
Well, all I know is I read a quote from a Republican that was supportive of this, and it was something along the lines of, if you liked clean Missouri, you're going to love cleaner Missouri. And I thought, if you're – no. I don't know at that point. I wasn't sure exactly what was in it, but I thought that is not a good pitch for somebody like me because I did not like clean Missouri.
So in our thinking, and we won't score this bill because it goes to the ballot, so Lincoln does not score a point. But because his vote of no followed the application of one topic, one bill, which is the constitutional application in this process, his vote of no would have been the constitutional one. And everyone who voted yes are in violation of that one topic, one bill. And their vote would be the unconstitutional one. So that is why I made the comment that Lincoln
is
the constitutional vote and everyone else is not.
But a judge.
But a judge, yes.
But a judge.
A judge created a topic that will come back to haunt us for years and years and years and years and years.
Awful. Absolutely awful. All right. Well, we got 30 seconds. Anything?
I ain't got anything.
All right. Well, I hope you get to feeling better there.
Yeah, I'm on the mend. Right.
I think he's on the downslide.
Well, you didn't have this last Friday that I recall.
No, this was just a couple of days.
Okay.
Oh, you got the coronavirus, don't you?
No.
Don't spit in my face, please. Well, I hope you get to feeling better.
Oh, I just sound bad.
Okay.
I'm feeling better.
It's going to be 50 this weekend, so get out and ride the lawnmower, get out in the sun,
ride the lawnmower.
Get you some vitamin C.
Tom Arts, Dr. John Lilly of the Locke and Smith Foundation. I am Nick Reed. We've got news coming up next.